faithful. He is so good. Praise God, and just loving for all of his goodness. Man, it's a crazy world out there. You know, it really is. But I'm so thankful to be in Christ, aren't you? And he is so good to us, and I'm just thankful. You know, I just want to continue talking. Go ahead, Jeffrey. I hear that, man. He's awesome. Give Jeff a good hand this morning. Yeah. You know, he just comes and just is such a blessing to us, and his music talent and everything he adds. And I'm thankful for your brother and your family. Amen. I just want you to stand this morning, and I want us to turn over, if you would, this morning in the Word let's go over to Hebrews 4 and 11. Hebrews 4 and 11. Been teaching out of Hebrews a little bit and just talking about rest. I want to continue that. Maybe it's because I'm tired this morning. Maybe the Holy Spirit's just directed me to talk about rest because I'm just tired this morning. But you know what? I want to speak a word to you in due season, because I think we all struggle at times in our mind. And, you know, we're made up of trichotomy. We are a three-part being. We're spirit, soul, and body. And it's that soul part, it's that spirit that when we're born again, that Christ has made perfect. But it's this soul thing that we all have to deal with and contend with, and, you know, just stay on that. Amen. And God wants us to be at rest in our minds. He wants you not to have to struggle, guys. And there's a way not to have to do that. And I just want to talk to you about that this morning, because we struggle about a lot of things at times. We allow excessive worry, as Kay was speaking, and anxiety, and she didn't know what I was talking about this morning, didn't have a clue, and we allow that to build up in our lives at times. But God wants you to be at rest. Amen. He wants you to be so at rest in him. Look at what the Word says. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Let's be diligent, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Next verse, go on down, let's read that. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the what? Thoughts and intents of the heart. That word is powerful, amen? Hold up your Bible this morning. Let's say this like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a high five and say, chill, baby. Praise God, man. You may be seated. It's really interesting that he connected these verses like this, and it's not out of coincidence, because he says, you know, we are diligently to labor. The thing we labor as Christians is not to be righteous, because Christ has already made us righteous. So we're not laboring to be righteous. We're not even laboring to be holy, because we are made holy in Christ. Your spirit has been perfected. You are holy in Christ. But what the writer of Hebrews says we do labor for is to enter rest, because it is an attack against your mind and against the enemy to cause you to stress and be full of anxiety. And so he put this out there. Then the very next verse, he talks about God's word being sharper than what? Any two-edged sword, able to pierce even to the asunder of what? Soul, our soul rim, our mind, will, and emotions, where we struggle 99% of the time, versus our spirit realm, which is perfected and has everything in Christ. And so he says the word is so powerful that it has the ability to go between the spirit realm and the soul realm. Amen. And it's in that soul realm, guys, that we find ourselves living. And so God wants to speak peace to your soul realm. See, and under the old covenant, you know, they had to sacrifice and do things in order to find what they believe was rest. But under the new covenant, we have Christ as the sacrifice and Christ as our rest. Amen. Jesus is literally the Word of God. He's the Word of God manifested. And so how do we get rest? The works of faith requires or involve what? Believing and trusting in him. And when we believe and trust in him, we find ourselves at rest. Rest does not mean inactivity. It's not like resting from work, but it is resting in while we are working. It is resting in him while we are active, because we can be active and still be at rest. You don't hear what I'm saying this morning. You can be active and still be at rest. God didn't want you to be a lazy person. God does desire us to work, but we can still be active and be at rest in our spirit and in our mind. Amen? And that's exactly where the enemy attacks you, is in your mind. So we need to understand that it's God's word that gives us that confidence that we rest in. And look at John 1, the gospel according to John, John chapter 1, look at verse 1. Look at this. Amen. In the beginning was what? The Word. So in the beginning was the Word. And the Bible says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word? The Word is Jesus. He is in the beginning. And here in Hebrews 4:12, it talks about that we have this Word of God that really supplies to us the rest of God. And when we're trusting in his word, we're resting in him. So real proof that we are resting in the word is when we refer to those specific scriptures that you might be dealing with in the circumstance. So if you're dealing with fear, you have a word on that and you say, you know what? God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and what? A sound mind. So, you know, you rest in the word that God has given you. You rest in his word. And who is the word? Jesus is the word. And so we rest in that word, but you got to have the word in you to rest in the word. If you're struggling in your body, you say, by his stripes, I am healed. Amen. Not that I'm going to be, that it's already been provided, and I am healed. So I rest in the word that was spoken to me. This morning we had a prophetic word for some of you, and you take that word and you rest in that word. You trust in that word. Amen. And that's what happens in every situation of life. In every situation of life that I face, what do? I have God's word on that situation. Guys, you got to get this. This is vitally important. Our faith becomes effectual by acknowledging, the Bible says, every good thing. Look at Philemon 1:6. Philemon. You know, I'm a little tired this morning, right? Philemon 1:6. Let's look at Philemon this morning, all right? Philemon 1:6. You guys know this. A great word of scripture. Blessing. That the sharing of your faith may come effective. How's it become effective? By acknowledgement of every good thing, which is where? In you. Every good thing has been deposited in you. So when fear comes up into my life, or I have a spirit of fear come up into my life, I begin to acknowledge what I have in my spirit, that I have peace, that I have joy, that I have God's word abiding in my heart. Amen? Wow. And every good thing in me that Christ has provided is what I acknowledge when I'm going through things to know and stay in rest. Man, hallelujah. God's already given us everything we need to succeed and thrive. For us, this means we do not need to labor to get more money. We rest in him. He guides us, and you are full of wisdom. In fact, the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. We're not laboring to get healed, because the Bible says by his stripes we're already healed. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? We're not laboring in this life. We are resting in this life in Jesus Christ. The place of rest is a blessing, a blessed place. Many people don't even know where it's at, but it's in Jesus. So God has designed us to operate out of rest, not out of stress. God has designed you to operate out of rest and not out of stress. Turn to somebody and say, that's where I want to be. No, turn to somebody and say, that's where I am. I'm going to be operating. You know, folks, we are so pressured. Anybody pressured in this life? Anybody ever get pressured? Anybody ever feel a pressure of life? You know, that is in your emotional realm. We feel all that pressure going on. God says, listen, I have provided a rest for you. I provided the area that you're going to be successful in everything you put your hand to. Why? Because favor is residing upon you. Amen. Goodness of God is in you. The love of God is in you. So whatever you put your hand to is going to be successful. But so many people are stressed and worried about their career and job. But I declare to you, you are successful already because of what Christ has provided. Amen. You're going to exceed far above others. Praise God. They're going to look at you and say, what is going on with this guy or this lady? What's happening to them? They're getting favor and promotion after promotion. And everybody else is struggling to entertain the boss. And you're just resting in Jesus and getting promoted all the time. Man, hallelujah. Why is that? Because God's favor is on you. And you can rest in that. Man, I was in a busy place yesterday. And it was really kind of chaotic and chaos. And I was just saying to the Lord, I said, you know, this place is so chaotic, Lord. It was just unbelievable. And I'm thinking, man, what's going on? And I just had to take my rest in Jesus. I said, Lord, you know what? I'm going to take my rest in you. I'm not going to worry about this place. This is not my responsibility. I'm just here, Lord, serving you. Amen. And I'm going to rest in you. Let it be chaos on the outside, but I'm going to rest in you. You know, Jesus was going over to the other side, and he told the guys, he said, get in the boat. He said, you know, and he got into the boat with them. They went over to the other side, and Jesus was resting and sleeping on the pillow, and a great storm came up, and the Bible says they were so afraid. You know what Jesus was doing? He was chilling and resting. And he said, why you guys are so little faith? And he spoke to it, and the winds calmed. It's like, wow. Amen. God wants you to rest. God designed us to rest. He designed you to be in rest. Look at Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26:3. One of my favorite verses. I love this scripture. Look at what the word says. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in what? Perfect, complete, whole peace, whose mind is stayed on everything else. Whose mind is worried about tomorrow. Whose mind is worried about next week. No, whose mind is what? Stayed on him. How do you keep your mind on him? By keeping your mind in the word. Amen. The word keeps your mind at rest. The word keeps your mind at rest. God wants us to give him what we are struggling with. God wants you to give it to him. Throw it to him. The Bible says we cast our care on him. Why do we cast our care on him? Because he cares for us. You know what? There's a sign that God, you think God doesn't care for you if you're carrying it. But when you release it, you know God is caring for me, and that's when he takes it up. Turn to somebody and say, throw it on him. Amen. So we got to learn to release our cares to God. And you know what that does? It demonstrates, Lord, I'm not depending on myself. I'm depending on you. Lord, I'm depending on you to take care of this situation. I'm depending on you to take care of my kids. Amen. And Philip and Andrew. I'm depending on you. Amen. Why? We can depend on God. Turn to somebody and say, you depend on God this morning. Give your troubles to him because he cares about you. Look at 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. We went through this, but I want to give this to you again, man. And if there's ever somebody in the Bible who was anxious, it was Peter. The Apostle Peter is always anxious about stuff, but he learned something. And look what he says. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may what? Exalt you in due season. Amen. Casting all your cares on him for what? He cares for you. He loves you today. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know what? When we start getting these cares in our life, it's coming from the enemy. It's not coming from God. And you start worrying and pondering on it, and then you find yourself stressing about it, and then you start doubting, you know, God. And God says, no, that's the trick of the enemy. Cast your cares on me because I love you. Unconditionally. Amen. He loves you today. Unconditionally. Look at Philippians 4:6. It says, be anxious for some things. Right? Be anxious for what? Be anxious for nothing. Turn to somebody and say, that's for you today. Wow, we can stress so much about stuff, can't we? Hello? We can, man. You ever find yourself doing that? Man, sometimes I find myself doing that. I've got to go back to the Word. The Word, guys, is my central platform. Anytime I'm having a difficulty, I know that my mind hadn't been on the Word. But when my mind goes back to the Word, I know this peace of God that I have, amen, every time and walk in it. He says, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? With thanksgiving. So when I'm going through something, what do I pray? I pray the Word. I pray the Word over it. Lord, I thank you I am healed. Lord, I thank you you supply all my needs today. God, I thank you you're with me in every circumstance. God, I thank you I have favor with you and with man. Amen. Every time I get anxious, I go back to the Word, and the Word regulates between that soul and spirit realm. And it realizes what I have in the spirit already, and it regulates that, and I find myself that I'm in peace again. Amen. Man, some of you are having nightmares at night. Be at peace, man. God gives you rest. He says, I give my beloved rest. In fact, he says, I give to my beloved in rest. Amen. God wants you to rest. He wants you to receive from him and what he has for you. Hallelujah. Wow. Look at Matthew 6, 27 through 29. Matthew 6, 27 through 29. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? Turn to somebody and say, if you're short, you're short. You ain't going to do anything about it, man. You can put some platform shoes on, but you ain't going to do anything about it. When you get off them platform shoes, you're still short. What is that song that says, nobody likes what? Short people? That's a lie. God loves you. Amen. God loves you. Amen. So it doesn't matter. He says, listen, can you do that? Go back, man. Don't hurry me up this morning. Go back a little bit. Which of you by worrying? Man, we are so consumed with our outward appearance, aren't we? Are we not? Is all these commercials and all this stuff, man, so consumed with, you know, how you got to look, you know? So I did that one day and my daughter went, yeah. So how you got to look and all these things. And you know what? We want to look nice and we want to have all those things. But really, you know what? God's concerned more about your spirit and your heart and you being at rest. Amen. But the world is consumed like that, man. You want to look nice and you want to look decent, but man, you want to be at rest. He says, can you add that? Can you add one cubit to a stature? Look at the next verse. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor what? Nor spin. And look what he says. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not as arrayed like just one of those. What is he saying, man? He says you need to just not stress. You need to just rest. Amen. You need to find that peace of God. Amen. Worry does not accomplish anything positive. Worry does not accomplish anything positive. I'll tell you what accomplishes something positive is speaking the word over your worry. Yeah. When you speak the word over your worry, you release the anointing and the power of God over that situation, and it gets into your soul realm, and your soul begins to be at rest. And one thing the enemy cannot stand is the word of God. Every time Jesus spoke to him the word of God, when he was tempted, he spoke to him God's word, because God's word carries a weight and authority. Worry does not accomplish anything. When we choose not to worry, we will see manifestations in our lives. When we choose not to worry, we will see manifestations in our lives. Amen. Why? Because when we're worrying, our mind's not in line with God's word. But when we're relaxing and refreshing in him, I'm telling you, manifestations take place automatically. It's not like, whoa, okay, I'm worried about this job I need to get. When you're just relaxing in him, God's going to give it to you. Oh, somebody say amen. But when we're stressed about it and we're stressed about our bills and this and that, man, listen, you're just cramping what God wants to do. Turn to somebody and say, you just need to chill a lot more. Chill a lot more. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go over to 2 Chronicles this morning. I love this verse of Scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12 through 25. We looked at this, but I love this. Jehoshaphat admitted to God. This is an old covenant, but listen. He admitted to God that his people were outnumbered by the enemies. No one knew what to do, but that everyone's eyes were to be on him. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We are to look unto him constantly. He is our provider. He is the one that's there with you. Praise God. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that they were surrounded by. It's coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But you know what? Our eyes are where? Our eyes are on you. Focus it on him, man. Get back off the circumstance that you find yourself in. Get back into the word and focus on him. He is the overcomer. His grace will see you through. In weakness, Paul said, that's where I'm strong. You know where weakness is? It's when you decide to take your hands off of it and give it to God. One of the greatest lessons I ever learned when flying is that planes are actually designed to fly. They're not designed to crash. They are engineered to fly. And when I was flying and first taking my lessons, I was in with an instructor in a small 152, and we were doing some power on stalls, which is a maneuver when you're taking off. If you pull the plane back so far, you're going to stall it, and you go past the aerodynamics of that plane. And we were up about 3,000 feet, and I didn't have the little ball in the center, so it means the tail of the plane was off a little bit, and we were in a bank. We were in that power on stall with a bank, and I pulled back, and it wasn't centered just right, and instead of just stalling like it's supposed to do, it just turned over like this. And it turned over, and what happening is we begin to enter a spin. And I'm going, whoa, this isn't good. And so what I did is I just released the controls of the plane, and I was like, whoa, this isn't good. And my instructor is just sitting there. I thought that isn't good either. And all of a sudden, we went about one time around, and then it came right back out, and it began to fly. And then I just added power, and we took off, and I was shaking a little bit, I must admit. And I said, why didn't you grab the plane? He said, well, I wanted to show you something. He said, this plane is designed to fly. He said, we weren't in a total spin yet, and I knew it was going to recover. And he said, now, if you had grabbed that control and a pull back more, we'd been more in a spin. He said, but you let go of that control, and that plane is supposed to fly. It's designed to fly, and I wanted to show you that. We had enough altitude to recover. It was no big deal. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, it was a big deal, you know. But he learned me a lesson that day, because I know that if I keep holding on and pulling back, I'm going to spin and stall and crash. But if I released it, it's good. And what some of you need to realize, you need to release some things to God. You came this morning and you're like, you know, I've got this going on, I've got that going on, I've got this happening, I've got that happening. No, guys, you are at peace in Jesus today. I declare your peace in the Lord today. Amen. No fear here. Turn to somebody and say, no fear here. Get it out of your mouth. Say, no fear here. I'm going to release. Say, God's got my future. God's got my tomorrow. He's got my next week, my next year. God's got it. Amen. I'm going to rest in him. I'm going to trust in him. I'm not going to be stressed because I'm too blessed to be stressed. Amen. Man, some of your moms, you know, raising these kids, you stress and you worry. I want to declare just rest. God's going to take care of that kid. Amen. He's going to take care of that kid. Wow. God is awesome good. Let's go down just a little bit. But our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, with their what? With their little ones, their wives, their children, stood before the Lord, the whole assembly. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehezazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah. They had to get all these names in here. The son of Jehiel, the son of Madaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, and in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, the King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not what? Be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is what? Not yours. But whose is it? It's God's. Amen. And they appointed singers, and they went out and sung before the Lord and praised the Lord. You know, when you find yourself stressing, it's a good time to be blessing. Bless the Lord and begin to praise him. That's why David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. My mind, will, and emotions, David said, I'm going to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Psalm 103, verse 1, put it up. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Wow. What does he say next verse? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? And forget not what? Oh, this is old covenant, but I really believe David had a revelation of Christ. I know he did. Amen. And he says, hey, bless the Lord, O my soul, my mind, my will, and emotions, and all of these benefits that God you give me. What's the benefits that we have? Listen to what he says. Who forgives? Turn to somebody and say this. If you know you're in Christ and everything is forgiven, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about because you know what? Everything's been taken care of. Therefore, you are a solidified child of God. Amen. And Daddy knows how to take care of you. It's like raising my girls. I wanted to take care. I love taking care of my girls. It's awesome. And my family. Amen. My wife. It's good to take care of your children and bless them. Hello? And I love blessing them. Anybody love blessing your kids? Am I the only one? Anybody love blessing their kids? Anybody love blessing your nephews and nieces? You don't have children, nephew and nieces? Isn't that fun? I mean, it's so cool. I was able to bless and help Andrew and Kay this past week get a new car. It was such a blessing. Amen. And God gave me favor. So I was up at the dealership, and one of the guys says, hey, I'm going to get you a friends and family discount from Chrysler. Oh, thank you. I receive that. Amen. Pass it along. And such a blessing to bless them. Praise God. There's nothing like blessing people. And that's the way God feels about you. It's nothing like blessing you. In fact, he wants to bless you. He desires to bless you. And David says, listen, we are so blessed because he had a revelation. And David had a lot of stuff going on in his life. Hello? Adultery, murder, all types of things. But he said this. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless his holy name. He was blessing him out of his soul, out of his mind, out of his will, out of his emotions. And he says, I'm blessed. Why am I blessed? He's forgiven all of my iniquities. Everything, praise God, has been forgiven in Christ. Amen. Not only that, what else has he done? He's healed all my diseases. Isn't that awesome? Man, that's why we can bless the Lord, because he's so good to us. Amen. And that's why we can trust him by casting everything on him. Look at the next verse. Who redeems your life from destruction? He's given us protection. We thank God that we don't have to worry about tomorrow because God's with us. Man, this is good stuff, man. Who crowns you with what? Loving and tender mercies. You know, God's just glad to see you today. He so loves you. He's glad to see you. It is so cool. You know, Elise has my daughter has a new little dog. And when I came in last night, he was so glad to see me, you know. And this morning, I walked outside for just a second, and I came back in, and he was just as glad. Cats do not operate like that. Cats are like, hello. Dogs are like, you know how they are. They're excited, man. They're coming to see you. They're running up to you. They're just like wagging their tail. Cats are like, blase. Amen. Your father's glad to see you. He loves you today. Amen. He cares for you today. He's going to take care of every situation in your life. Listen to me. He's going to take care of every situation in your life. Amen. There is nothing too hard for God. The Bible says, for with God, Luke 1:37, for with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. God's with you this morning. Amen? You're a covenant child of the King. He's going to take care of every situation for you. Turn to somebody and say, no worry, no stress here. Turn to somebody and say, God's got it. Say, God's got my health. He's got my finances. He's got everything that concerns me. God's got it. Amen. I'm going to rest today. I'm going to enjoy my day. I'm going to celebrate Jesus. Amen. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm full of God's love and full of God's peace. That's who I am, because He is a good, good Father. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said, what father of you, you know, if your child asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or give him a serpent? I don't even like that, man. I don't like snakes at all. What father? What kind of father? You know what? We have such a good Father, guys. Let's stand this morning. And when we acknowledge how good God is and how great He is, amen. And the Bible says, magnify the Lord, not your problem. Oh, magnify the Lord. We want to, you know what? We get so consumed on stuff and so focused at times that we start magnifying the problem more than God. But God says, magnify the Lord. Magnify Him. Make Him bigger than your problem, because He is already. Hallelujah. Raise your hands up to Him this morning. I want you to confess some things out of your mouth today. Today I declare, I am the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. I'm full of the love of God and the wisdom of God. My mind is at rest. I do not allow the enemy to disturb my mind. I have, according to the word, the mind of Christ in me, in my spirit. I declare I'm favored today, that I excel, that I find favor with men, that God is working in my finances, that I'm blessed today, that I always have more than enough. I declare I'm prosperous today, and I'm prospering. Everything I put my hands to prospers. I declare over my children peace and grace and God's great love for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God some praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo, God is good. I want you to fellowship with somebody this morning. Tell them how good God is in 5 minutes. Can you do that? Hallelujah. You are loved today. Praise God.